Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the book of Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 10 this morning. Our message series is called Stories and Visions, and today we begin the final vision in the book of Daniel. And there have been a lot of visions in this book. You know, we've been focusing on the last four. Those are the ones that Daniel received. But we also had the visions of a great statue and a great tree and the handwriting on the wall. And then as we moved into Daniel's visions, he had those four beasts and then the little horn. And then the Son of Man approaching the throne of heaven. And then the ram and the goat, another little horn. And now we come to the final vision in the book, Daniel's vision of a man. And that sounds like, well, that's kind of seems very calm and collected after all of these beasts and strange symbols, but you'll see that this is a pretty amazing vision in and of itself. So in Daniel 10, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 as we get started. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. The word of the Lord. Let us pray, dear Lord, as we look into your word now. We ask that you would speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Give us attentive ears eager hearts to hear what you would tell us and how we may best change in response to your word this morning to please you and to bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, we probably don't think about it a lot, but there is a whole physical world out there that we can't see. You go, well, wait a second. I could see everything. No, you can't. Yeah, our human eyes are only tuned to certain frequencies of light. In fact, many animals in the animal kingdom are able to see things that we can't see. They can see shorter wavelengths. For example, bees and butterflies are able to see the ultraviolet light that we can't see. And so they can see those nectar guides along the flowers and petals. We can't see. That's invisible to us. They see it no problem. Reindeer. Can tune into ultraviolet wavelengths. They use that to spot lichen on trees when they're out in the ice and the snow, to see wolves approaching with all the ice and snow around. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got animals like snakes and insects and fish and amphibians, and a lot of these are able to detect the longer wavelengths, the infrared light. And they can actually see heat, and they can form thermal images as they tune into these wavelengths. They can locate and identify their prey even in total darkness. That's amazing how God has created things. However, there's not only a physical world that we cannot see as humans, there is also a spiritual world that we cannot see. And that's part of what we're going to learn here today in Daniel chapter 10. There is a whole spiritual world filled with spiritual conflict and battles that is invisible to us, and yet is just as real as those parts of the physical world we can see with our eyes. The Bible tells us that God, through Christ, created all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. It speaks of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You know, when Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the enemy, you might remember that story from the Old Testament. Elisha told his servant, he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And then, of course, we have our passage today here in Daniel chapter 10. And it's a passage where an angel gives Daniel a glimpse behind the curtain of the spiritual battle going on, even in the affairs of the world's nations. There are spiritual battles going on. So there's a whole world out there you can't see. But it's just as real and just as dangerous. Thankfully, God can see it, and he will guide you through it. Amen? Amen. There's an outline in your worship guide. I encourage you to take that out at this time and follow along as we start working our way through the message. So we're looking at Daniel's vision of the man. This was a vision which was preceded by a period of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. We're going to see this vision spans actually all three of the closing chapters in the book of Daniel. We're getting close to the end now. Chapter 10 this week, that's what we're looking at, is all preparatory to the vision. Chapter 11 next week describes the vision itself. And then chapter 12 provides the afterword. And as with all the other visions in the book, this vision builds on the visions before it and reveals additional details. So this is Daniel's fourth and final vision in the book. Quick review. Daniel's first vision was the four beasts. That was chapter 7. Daniel's second vision, the ram and the goat, chapter 8. Third vision was about the 77s. We looked at that last week. Now we come to the fourth vision, the vision of the man. So look at verse 1 with me now. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Well, the third year of Cyrus is the year 536 BC on our calendar, so we know exactly when Daniel received this vision. It actually took place several years after the exiles were allowed to return to Jerusalem. And Daniel speaks here of a revelation that was given to him about a great war or conflict. And as we continue through this passage, we'll see that there was both an earthly conflict and a spiritual conflict at play here. It's unclear, this revelation Daniel speaks about here, does that refer to the vision that follows, the vision we're going to look at in chapter 11, or was this a separate initial revelation? And then the next vision we're going to look at was the understanding of that. Either way, we'll see there's a period of time before Daniel receives that part of the vision that's recorded for us in chapter 11. And this period of time involved 3 weeks of fasting. 3 weeks of fasting. Look at verses 2 and 3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So this was 3 weeks of fasting from choice foods and meats as well as from lotions. Imagine going 3 weeks without any shampoo or body lotion or cream like that. This is tough stuff, guys, but Daniel did it. And in those days, man, those lotions are important. This is a very dry climate. This was also a time of mourning, most likely for the exiles back in Jerusalem who faced strong opposition when they returned. It was a time of Daniel humbling himself before the Lord by fasting and seeking him in prayer. Many of us are not familiar with the practice of fasting, but it's spoken of throughout the Bible, including the New Testament. And if you've never fasted or prayed before, I would encourage you to try this. Begin easy. You know, unless God tells you to go big, but otherwise begin easy. So just start with a meal or two meals or a day and just set aside that time to fast and pray. And see where God brings you from there. Daniel was fasting and praying for 3 weeks when he receives this vision of the man dressed in linen. This was an overwhelming appearance. Let's go look at those verses we opened with, verses 4 through 6. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. We know exactly when Daniel received this vision. 24th day of the first month. So that would be the first month of the Jewish New Year. 24th day would have been 10 days after Passover. This is very interesting. Daniel spent the first 3 weeks of the new year fasting and praying even throughout the entire Passover celebration. Passover was a time normally marked by feasting rather than fasting. This would be like you or me deciding, you know what? I'm going to fast for the whole week of Thanksgiving. It's like, what? You're going to fast through Thanksgiving? That's what he did. He fasted through all of Passover, which shows how deeply he was mourning for his people. Why would Daniel fast and mourn during Passover? It's likely because even though Cyrus allowed the Jews to return home, that was 3 years earlier, they faced opposition. They're trying to rebuild the city, rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls. They got a good start. They began the work in the second month of the second year after they arrived. But the peoples around them set out to discourage them and to keep them from building. Daniel mourns for his people and he prays concerning their situation. Daniel is standing beside the Tigris River. This is north of the city. It's away from the capital when he receives this vision of the man. Who is this man? Some people, interpreters believe this is Gabriel, whom we've already met in an earlier vision. Some believe this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Very possible. Others think this is another angel because he's not named. So not Gabriel, not Christ, but another angel. And although the descriptions here are similar to the description of Jesus in the book of Revelation, and you compare it to Revelation chapter 1, you see a lot of similarities. That's why some people believe this is Christ. I believe it's best to view this man not as Christ, but as an angel. Could be Gabriel, could be someone else, but as an angel. In fact, if you take this description and compare it to the description of the cherubim in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1. So now you've got two chapters for homework, right? Revelation chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 1. You'll see it's very, very similar. What does all this clothing and what do these symbols represent? The linen clothing represents priesthood and holiness. The golden belt represents royalty. The precious metals, the blazing fire, the voice like thunder and like a multitude. This all describes a majestic, powerful, fearsome being. Once again, could be Gabriel, could be another angel, could be a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Another interesting aspect of this vision is that only Daniel could see it. Only Daniel could see it. Look at verses 7 through 9. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. And so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale. I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. So this is similar to Paul on the road to Damascus. Only Paul could see that vision. The other ones, men around him, you know, they were scared, but they couldn't see anything. They could hear sounds, but only Daniel could see it. But same thing. There must have been some other sense of this mighty being's presence, because everybody else just runs away. They get out of there. And Daniel, he's left all by himself. He's all alone. He's drained of all of his energy. Falls face down to the ground in a daze. And you know what? This happens to be, as you read through the Bible, this is what people normally do. Okay? When it comes to a vision of heaven, if you have a vision of heaven or an angelic visitation, you fall down. I know some of us say, God, I'd really like to see an angel. I'd like to see an angel. Make sure you put some carpets and pillows down on the floor first, okay? Because you're going down. Everybody does in Scripture. Daniel goes down here. But then what happens? I love this. Daniel is touched by an angel, right? Touched by an angel. Look at verses 10 through 11. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. So the angel touches Daniel, only makes Daniel more afraid. He gets part way up to his hands and knees, but he's still afraid. He's trembling. The angel speaks to him, tries to encourage him. Finally, Daniel stands all the way up, but he is still awestruck by this vision. The angel tells him, I have been sent to you. That's another reason I believe this is an angel. The Bible tells us elsewhere, Hebrews 1:14, angels are messengers who are sent to minister to God's people. So all this is happening. Now finally, we get a look at what was happening behind the scenes while Daniel was fasting and praying. And here we get introduced to another mysterious figure, the Prince of Persia. Maybe you've heard about that before, the Prince of Persia. Look at verses 12 through 14. Then he, the angel, Christ, whoever this may be, then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." That's another reason I lean towards this being an angel rather than Christ. I don't know that Christ would have needed the help of somebody else. This angel certainly did. Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks. 3 weeks without a response. Now he learns that God had sent the angel to him on the very first day. First day he started praying and fasting. Why the 3 week delay? The angel tells him that the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted him for 21 days. So who is this prince of Persia then? Some understand this as a reference to a human ruler, since the word prince can refer to earthly leaders. Others see this as an angelic being that was assigned to Persia. Whether good or evil, an angelic being. I think the context is pretty clear. It points to a spiritual adversary of great power, so an evil being, someone who can oppose an angelic messenger from God, and who's strong that their resistance requires the help of Michael, another angel, whom this angel describes as one of the chief princes. You know, so Michael saw, I don't know, is he the bodyguard angel? Is he the bouncer angel? I don't know. But you know, one of the strongest angels here. And the mention of both the prince of Persia and the king of Persia, notice he's called both in the same breath, suggests a distinction. You have these earthly powers that are operating, but then you also have these spiritual powers operating behind the scenes. So here we get this fascinating glimpse into the spiritual world, where we learn that there are spiritual forces at work behind the earthly kingdoms of this world. Isn't that amazing? This should not surprise us. Do you remember how these empires were represented back in chapter 7, the first vision Daniel had, represented by these horrific beasts emerging from the sea? This was a clue, and we mentioned it at the time, to the spiritual source of evil behind these kingdoms, the spiritual source of evil behind their oppression and their cruelty. In this particular conflict, these 21 days was so intense that the angel God sent to Daniel, he says, "Michael, I need some help." So he needed Michael to break through. You go, wow, that's just Old Testament, right? No, we find a similar example of spiritual resistance in the New Testament. When Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, he said, "We wanted to come to you. We really wanted to, Thessalonians. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan stopped us." And so there's continual spiritual opposition from the enemy even to today. But now the angel's come. He's come in answer to Daniel's prayer. He's come to explain what will happen to Daniel's people in the future. It's a vision that concerns a time yet to come. But before the angel can proceed, poor Daniel, he's still struggling here. He needs more strengthening. Look at verses 15 to 19. "While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground. I was speechless. And then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. I'm helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe.' And again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, 'Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength.'" Daniel is so overwhelmed by all this. At first, he can't even speak. Then one who looks like a man touches his lips to give him strength. This is now second time Daniel's been touched by an angel. Though it's unclear who's touching him. Is it the first man or is this another angel who's there? Either way, this one who looks like a man touches Daniel's lips. And now he finally speaks. Doesn't have much to say. Can't say much. He can barely breathe, right? Hard, you know, never mind speak. So now he's touched a third time. And the angel speaks to him. He tells him to be strong. Finally, he's ready to receive the word the angel has for him. And we're like, when do we get to this vision? You know, we keep trying to get there. We're still not there, okay? The angel's getting ready to tell Daniel the vision, but first he prepares him. He needs to prepare him. He does this by giving him further details about these spiritual battles that are going on all around him. Look at verses 20 and 21 now, and we'll also jump into chapter 11. Just read the first verse there as well, because they go together. So he said, "Do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth." And then we get a little parenthesis here. "No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him." So you got to wonder, well, why has the angel even come to Daniel? He's got all of these battles to fight, right? He's fighting against the prince of Persia right now. And then the prince of Greece is on his way. Now, this mirrors what happened historically, future for Daniel, but history for us, when the Persian Empire eventually fell to the Greeks. So he's in the middle of all these battles, but he has come to answer Daniel's prayer for understanding. It says, "Daniel, I'm going to share with you what's written in the book of truth." And this is a wonderful, powerful statement of God's foreknowledge and sovereignty. All God's words are truth. Everything God speaks will be fulfilled. He is sovereign over all history. And then the angel tells Daniel, he says, how Michael's helped him in his battles before, how he's helped Michael, how together they're involved in the overthrow of Babylon by Darius. Once again, it's an amazing peek behind the curtain as we get a glimpse behind the scenes of these spiritual battles that are going on all around us and throughout history. So that's a lot. That's chapter 10. And we haven't even gotten to the main vision yet, okay? That's going to be next week. This part of the vision, this was all preparatory to what the angel will reveal to Daniel next week, chapter 11. So we're going to pause here, but I do want to take a moment just to look at some applications from this chapter for us today. And then we'll get to the actual vision next week. Application number one, very clear. There is a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle going on. The Apostle Paul tells us in the New Testament, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." The Apostle Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings," even as we prayed for them earlier in the service. There is a spiritual battle going on, and you will sometimes get caught in the middle. So don't be surprised when things don't always go smoothly or as planned. Don't be surprised when you experience conflict or setbacks in your church or in your family or in your work or in your life. There's a battle going on, and we're all part of it. We're going to have some battle scars. That's just part of the deal. That's our first application. There is a spiritual battle. Number two, your prayers make a difference. Your prayers make a difference. And we really need to take this chapter we've just looked at, Daniel chapter 10, and you set it alongside the book of Ezra chapters 1 through 4. Why is that? In Ezra, we learn about the opposition to the Jews who returned to the land to rebuild Jerusalem. Here in Daniel, we learn that that opposition had a spiritual component. And so the enemy was attacking God's people in Jerusalem, but Daniel was praying. And if you read Ezra chapters 1 through 4, you'll see God answering as God gives them relief. Here's the principle. The battle on earth is always won on your knees as you engage the spiritual battle that is going on in the heavenly realms. Let me say that again. The battle on earth is won here on your knees in prayer as you engage the spiritual battle going on in the heavenly realms. Your prayers make a difference. I think it's also important to point out here that Daniel is in his 70s in this chapter. I used to think the 70s were old. Now I'm getting closer. It's not old at all. Yeah, it's not old at all. I think it's 100. You got to get to 100, right? But this is retirement age, right? The 70s. You know, the younger people, they're rebuilding Jerusalem while Daniel, he's in his 70s. He's providing the prayer support. And all I'm saying is this, don't ever think that you are too old to make a major contribution to the kingdom of God. And even if you are not able to do all the things maybe you used to do, a lot of the same physical work, maybe you don't have the same energy, you can always be on the front lines of prayer because that's where the battle takes place. Your prayers make a difference. And so pray, pray. And then number three, remember you are not alone. Right? Daniel saw the vision. Everybody ran away. Daniel felt all alone. He said, Daniel's left all alone. But God heard his prayers and God came and gave him strength. You know, we can feel alone. We feel alone a lot of times, don't we? Sometimes we pray and we don't see God's answers right away. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by events in our lives, by world events. Sometimes we wonder why Christians are persecuted or why the church is struggling. And that's when you need to remember there is a whole spiritual world out there that you cannot see. And yet it is just as real as the physical world. And it has a direct impact on events in the physical world. Now, sometimes God draws back the curtain so we can see what is really going on. Most of the times, we simply need to put on the full armor of God and take our stand. And we should never be discouraged. Because as Elisha told his servant, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And if God opened your eyes, you would see God's angels all around this sanctuary this morning, all here doing the work of God. Or as God tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God's delays are not God's denials. Daniel fasted and prayed for 3 weeks before he knew whether his prayers were getting anywhere. God heard him the first day. God's delays are not his denials. It's just that there's a whole lot going on that you and I don't know about and can't see. So let's learn to trust God and his timing, knowing that God wins in the end and he will deliver us as he promised. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. This is such an important passage of scripture. It's one of those rare instances where you draw back the curtain for us and let us see what's going on in the spiritual world around us. Lord, I pray that we would take the lessons we've learned from this. I pray that we would go into this new week more just knowledgeable and understanding of the spiritual world that we cannot see, but that is there and that is impacting us and those around us, knowing that even though we can't see it, we can address it in prayer. And the battle is won on our knees, God. And you are hearing and you are answering and we are not alone. You are with us. You are with us, and we know that you have overcome the world, and you've overcome the enemy, and so we look to you for strength. Just as the angel kept on trying to give Daniel that strength, and he finally responded, Lord, we want to receive your strength today as well. Thank you, God, for these amazing things that you teach us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.